Good morning. Had some beautiful weather this week. I tell you, if you like me, if you live in a neighborhood like I do, you can smell steaks or burgers cooking on a grill somewhere still this time of year. You can smell the freshness of some of the crumbly leaves that are out there and see all the squirrels playing out in the trees and on the electric lines where they don't belong and all kinds of things going on that just tell you fall's here. And you hear people mowing their grass down low for the last time. A lot of my neighbors said, we're going to cut it low in case the weather turns bad. We don't have to mow it anymore. And of course, we got a lot of turmoil, a lot of things going on in the world and in our country that we need to be praying for all the time. We've got to become a country that's unified, and it's going to be hard when there's so many different ideologies out there that insist on having their way, no matter who they are. So change would be important. I believe that if this nation would change the way God sees fit, change the way the Creator wants us to be, a lot of good things would take place. We could be happier, more joyous. And so I'm fortunate this morning, and I hope you feel the same way, to be able to go to a story in the Bible about a man whose life was changed because he found Jesus. And he went home with joy in his heart and his spirit. And he went to Ethiopia. And it's a very open country to Christianity and has been for centuries, actually. And you have to wonder, way back in that century, that first century, how much did his faith have an impact on that nation? We're talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. What an interesting story his story is. You know, for the Christian to be really changed, it's simple. We must surrender to God's desire. To be that Christian you've always wanted to be, to have that real joy, is to say, I can let go and let God really have His way with my life, my heart, completely. Sold out, no matter what. There's nothing else that's going to work as well. Some things will get us by, but they will not work like giving your full and total life to the Lord of Lords and the host of heaven. The American Revolution, I think about, we're getting close to Veterans Day, which is in November, but I'm thinking the Revolution helped bring change to the colonies that turned into the United States of America. 13 colonies with territory everywhere, purchases, like the Louisiana Purchase, some war and fight and conflict, and yes, some sadness with what we've done to some of the Native Americans, no one's arguing that. But in all of that, we've become the United States of America. People made a bold step to denounce the King of England's tyranny and choose a new and better way to live in real freedom. This change came only when conditions were set up, challenges were issued by the leaders, and the people desired a change in the way their lives would be governed forever. And we have become one of the most incredible nations in the history of the world. We have a government that should work if we follow it. In the spiritual sense, we've had to do the same thing. We've had to make a change. There had to be a revolution in our hearts that said we would denounce the world's ways. I won't live for the world. I won't do what the world entices me to do. I will remove the shackles of slavery to my sin. Allow him to. And I will choose real freedom in Christ. I will make those choices conscientiously. Today's message tells us such a person who wanted to know real freedom, he wanted a real change in his life, and he would learn it meant a real surrender to the real God of all, because he'd been in the land of many gods. He had known what it was like to worship any god, some gods, for different reasons. Gods for the waters, gods for seasons, gods for harvest. He'd been there. And he'd also learned about the God of the Hebrews somewhere along the way, because that's what made him want to go to Jerusalem to worship in the temple, though he was not allowed in. Well, let's look at the text and think of this amazing story. It's one of my favorites, but I have a lot of favorites in the Bible, but this is just one of many. It's about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, but I'm going to start it a little bit earlier than most people do when they teach it, because I want to start with the people who were the highlighted people before. In verse 24 in chapter 8, of Acts, I read these words. Then Simon answered, 24. Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Okay, Simon the sorcerer is asking for help. He's in an area where he knows he needs God, and he wants to do the right thing, and his intentions weren't quite right, but he came to the Lord. And then it finishes up by saying, "When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages." Now, folks, this is called Acts. This letter is called Acts. It's been called Acts of the Church, Acts of the Apostles. But you see, there's also Acts of those whom the Apostles laid their hands on, who would get the blessing to go out and reach out to people and teach them. This is not something to be taken lightly. Now we're going to go from Peter and John and what they've done for a little while to a man who worked out throughout all the countryside here, Samaria and other places. His name's Philip. It says here in verse 26 through 40, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading the Isaiah the prophet and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture, which said, 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Now, some of this doesn't look like it goes together for one sermon, you might say, message, but I'm going to try to put that together for you. We go from Peter and John, who are apostles already out, obedient to Christ, doing what they've been told to do. They're teaching people. They're laying hands on people to become the teachers themselves, in a miraculous way, so that the church can start spreading, because Jesus wasn't with them in the sense he had been. These people were the ones who were going to have to make sure the word got spread and preachers were put in place. They didn't get to go to a Bible college or someplace to learn a lot very fast, so a lot of knowledge was going to be engrafted into their minds and their hearts. They were going to be given gifts to teach and preach. Philip is one of them. And it might be worthy to note that in Acts chapter 6, this Philip is the Philip that is mentioned as one of the seven that's used to wait on the tables and help the people with their needs, the widows especially, and the orphans, so the apostles could be about praying and teaching. He came from that point into history, and he became one of the people that would be teachable and able to learn and grow and help others to grow too. So, what I just read you tells me a few things about this man's life that are important to every Christian. Every person of faith should be taking this journey. And that's this. First of all, his curiosity about the suffering Savior would bring a change in his mind. I believe that if people are seriously looking, and if they will look at the Bible with an open mind, that they don't know it all, that all the preconceived notions out there that are not Christian, that are anti-Christian, can be set aside and say, look at it and let it tell you by itself what God has in store for you, then people's minds will be open, their hearts will be changed. They will turn to the real true God who created them. They will not look to the people of this world who have lied to them, not intentionally in every case, but because of their own knowledge of what they think they know anyway. And they will turn to the knowledge of the God's living God's Word. Now this guy had a Bible study. He had a teacher. He had a question or two to ask. The gospel was presented to him. There is repentance and faith in this picture. And baptism takes place. That's what he sees as a logical next thing to do. And there's joy in having Christ as Lord. That, in a nutshell, is his story. Now, this should sound familiar to everybody who's given their life to Christ. You've got questions, you know. You have a need to repent. Confess Jesus as Lord. We don't hear confessions per se said here, but we have to understand that in the scheme of everything and all the conversions, this was a part of it all. And just because it's not mentioned doesn't mean it doesn't happen for everybody. Every author writes and tells different details that they want known by their stories. Dr. Luke has chosen to go this direction with Acts. But he has curiosity about the suffering Savior. Now think about this guy. He's got faith. He's been in a land of many gods, right? You've heard that said before if you've heard his story. He travels 650 miles or so all the way to Jerusalem because he wants to worship and find out more about the one God that the Jews say is the one true God. Somebody had gotten to Ethiopia with the word. Somebody had told him. He learned somehow, and his curiosity was piqued. So he goes to Jerusalem. Now, he's damaged goods. He's not a perfect in body person, so he won't be allowed in. According to the Jews' old ways of Leviticus and other places of the Old Testament, this eunuch wouldn't be allowed to go into the holy place to worship with the Jews. He is probably a proselyte at the gate, as they're called. That's Gentiles wanting to turn to Judaism, but not there yet, not a convert yet, because he hasn't gone through all the studies and been confirmed yet. He's at least a proselyte at the gate because he has faith, he believes, he goes, he wants to worship. Well, because he's damaged goods, and Leviticus 21 says this, 21:20, shows that the Jewish law forbid him to enter their worship, the words say this, no man who has any defect may come near, no man who is blind or lame, disfigured or deformed, no man with a crippled foot or hand, or who is hunchbacked or dwarfed, or who has any eye defect, or who has festering or running sores or damaged testicles, may worship. Now you and I know the hallelujah for us is that when Jesus came and superseded this with his new rule of love for God and others and so forth, he fulfilled these, didn't destroy them, but he changed for us the rules. We are damaged people. We do have problems. We do have sin. We are maimed in some cases. We have people who have arms missing, eyes missing, can't see, and can't hear. We got all kinds of problems in our lives that are physical. But do you notice it's changed? Jesus changed it when he came. Observing rules was no longer the true part of faith like it had once been. He came to say, it's the heart I want. It's the soul. It's the mind. I'll take you as you are if you'll give yourself over to me. This eunuch is in the desert getting the story of a lifetime. And Philip is telling him everything he wants to know and more. And somewhere in this conversation, we aren't told what all was said. We know he refers to Isaiah 53. This eunuch had gone to a local bookstore, so to speak, in Jerusalem, picked up Isaiah the prophet, which is all he could find, and read it and was enthralled by this God who was a Savior who was suffering for our sins. A prophet who told him there would be someone who would come and he would take all of our pain, all of our sins upon himself. And he didn't know in his gods of Ethiopia anybody else like that. There wasn't any other God who died for the people. Every God that exists in this world asks you to die for them. Have you ever thought about the difference in the religion? This is why Christianity is hard for the world to swallow. They don't want to give up the idea that their deeds can win them something in heaven. All our deeds are is a fruit of our love for God. They're a sign that we have Him living in us. But they're important in that sense. But they didn't save us. We'll never do enough to be saved by our own works, will we? Philip is excited. Nothing stopped him in the scriptures that he read at this local bookstore to want to know more. Now, sadly, think about this. He's been turned away. He's going home. He's headed back home with his scripture and himself and nobody to help until God sees what's going on, sees the greater good, sees the possibilities for that country. If the guy who's treasurer for Candace in Ethiopia changes to the faith, because someone took time to listen to him and help him with his questions. This becomes very significant. 650 miles they have to ride, and Philip's with him all the way. His curiosity is piqued. He comes along and asks if he understands what he reads, and the eunuch says, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? And they have a great Bible study. And he's baptized, probably in an oasis somewhere. And Philip begins to teach and answer this man's curiosity about the one who could change his life forever. Surrender is the word again. Surrender is required to make a change in this case and in every case. You see, to be changed, you're going to have to surrender. If I'm going to be changed, I have to stop thinking I have control, that I say what happens with me, that I make the rules, that I pick what part of the Bible I'll study and listen to and trust and what parts I won't. That's why a lot of religions exist in this world, my friends. People trying to make God fit them instead of deciding to fit with what He asks and wants and desires. This is where we get in trouble. This is why we're not satisfied with Christianity many times. We aren't really changed. We haven't finally said, I surrender, Lord. Whatever You say, that's what I want. Whatever You want me to do, I want to do. And if we don't decide this, we will be people who go through the motions and be religious people the rest of our lives. And religious people are not what He's looking for, who observe a bunch of rules and statutes and so forth, statutes. He wants people whose hearts are turned toward Him, who can love Him like He loves them, as much as we know how to humanly. Surrender is where the change begins. The eunuch changed his mind about all religions and took on the living God. And it shows in the end of the story that he's got great joy, great understanding. His eyes are opened. And I would recommend to you that if you think back on the day that you gave your life to Christ, you know how the eunuch felt. Can't we all remember that day? At least how we felt? I certainly always will. It was a celebration in my heart. And I saw other people celebrating with me that I was getting it. I was finally letting Him have lordship of my life, though I was flawed and though I would sin and hurt Him at times in my life. I know who He is, and to this day I still know who He is. And I am obnoxious about Jesus to people who don't want to hear a lot about all the time. And I have to tell you, I've been around Christian people who don't want to talk God talk sometimes. It bores them. They want it on Sunday and then they're done for the week. That's not changed. I hunger to be in audiences all the time, don't you? Where people want to talk about Him now and then. I want to do what we called at seminary, God talk with men. Not our hobby talk all the time, not our sports favorites, not our engines we rebuild. Although those are okay for a little while. But I want to center around our love and our walk with the Lord, because that's exciting to me. I love to hear men say, yes, I'll pray with a whole heart. Don't have to beg them. And women. I love to see Christians wanting to read the Bible and tell me about what they're looking at, their devotional books for the week. I love those stories. They're my favorite. Don't you? When we're changed, that's on our mind. That's in our heart. And everything else is nice, but it's extras. But being changed, this eunuch, his joy is in here for a reason. Dr. Luke put down that he left with joy, because he wanted us to read this in this century, later on, and every century that would exist until the Lord returns. And friends, it sure looks like He's coming soon to me from what all I'm seeing. He wanted us to have that joy of being changed, not just converted for a moment, not just saying we give our life to Christ, but living for Him. Whatever that may mean every day of your life, in whatever way you can show it. Sometimes it's just in our spirit. There's not a certain task you have to be doing, except living like people who love Him, acting like it in your spirit, your personality, praising Him from time to time for the simple little things that happen. You ever been driving down the road and it caught you that when you've been praying for something for a long time and all of a sudden you see the answer, you get excited? Like, God, now I see what You mean. I'm getting what You're saying here. This makes sense to me. When you're changed, you have those moments too. And I pray everybody here does. and those not with us today do. Changed people have experiences with Christ and they recognize them. They know it's happening to them because they're open and they're tuned into Him. That's what this eunuch was. He'd had enough of gods that didn't seem to fulfill, that were empty, that weren't answering his prayers. And now he found one, and Philip made it very clear. Philip must have been an exceptional teacher. Of course, if he was given the gifts by the apostles, which it seems to show in the earlier chapter he was, what knowledge did he give him to help him understand? It must have been incredible. Surrender. His curiosity about the suffering Savior would bring a change in his mind because he could surrender. Second thing I'd say this morning is this: his concern for pleasing the Savior would put a desire for change in his heart. Once he knew who this God was, he wanted to serve Him with all his heart. He believed in Him. Philip taught him about the Savior who would die for him so he could live. And this eunuch had not known anybody who would do that. No God who would take his pain. The story must have caused him to weep in that 650-mile journey. And we're approximating the mileage, I realize. But in that long journey, this eunuch is hearing this story, and it had to have overwhelmed him because he believed it. He truly believed Jesus died for him. He truly believed Jesus had a lot of pain and suffering that should have been his, the eunuch's. How could you not be grateful to know that I don't have to take that pain? You don't have to take that pain that he took because he did it for us. And he bought us back when we were lost. We were not told all Philip said, but the logical conclusion for the eunuch was, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Now, yes, we can push the idea of the baptism itself, and that's very important. But it's more than that. It's a, here's one of the things I just learned today that God wants from me. Why shouldn't I do it? I don't know why we argue about things like this in the world of religion today, but we do. Because people like convenience more than they like to go out of their way, I guess. But if I'm told to repent and confess and be baptized and to bear fruit in keeping with my faith all the rest of my life and to remain faithful until death, and this is what God wants from me, isn't that the least I can do? To respond to Him? This eunuch wanted to do anything and everything that Jesus desired. At the very moment of his understanding, he does not hesitate to take the plunge, so to speak. To say, I'm all in other words. I'm all in. What else do you have for me, Lord? I'm listening. Surrender is listening to God and saying, I want to be able to be that person you want me to be. And God, forgive me when I'm weak and I fail you, but I'm trying. I'm trying every day to be what you want. His heart was following his mind in making the total change to Christ. That's the natural conclusion, isn't it? If my heart is throbbing and I can sense something great is happening to me, you know those moments when somebody says something that's exciting to you and you even get goosebumps that you didn't create, you didn't make them happen, you didn't pray them into existence, your body just all of a sudden responded to that adrenaline rush and everything else that happens, and you can tell something stirring has just happened that pleases you. Or scared. Sometimes I guess you're scared when those goosebumps come up. But I've gotten goosebumps when people have given testimonies before of how they found the Lord. And then my heart and my mind both start to click together. This was a great moment for them. It's a great moment for all of us. It's a great life for us. Surrender. Pleasing the Savior was a concern for this eunuch. And he had great joy in saying, now I know what to do and where to spend my time. We may not have all the story, but I'm going to tell you what. He did not go home the same way he left. He came back a different man for the better. And he gave up his false gods. And that's what we'll have to do. Have you got something that's so important it controls you? Something you have to always be doing and nothing can allow to get in your way? Something, anything. I'm not going to say it for you. You think of things in your life that will stand in the way of your relationship with God for long periods of time, maybe. Are you changed? surrender is allowing Him to change us so that our heart's desire is what God wants. And anything else we get in life that we enjoy, that's extra. It's not the norm, it's the extras. His concern for pleasing the Savior would put a desire for change in his heart. This leads me, and that was based on verses 36 through 38, basically. Now, the last thing I'd say is this. His comfort in knowing Jesus as personal Savior, it would change his life. I alluded to that. It would change his life. His life would be different. Can you, and you don't have to answer me out loud unless you just want to for some reason, but can you think about how your life's changed since you let Jesus have it? I would hope everybody here could say yes. My life has changed. My priorities are different. I think differently than I used to. I don't look so selfish anymore. I'm not trying to do just what makes me happy for the moment. I'm actually trying to hear Him, put Him first, others second, myself last. You can't live in a world where you keep saying me, my, and I every time you talk, because it's all about you. Unless you're saying, my heart's desire is to serve you, Lord. I will call upon the Lord. You'll find those all throughout the Psalms, won't you? Because that's the song that's in our heart. Comfort in knowing Jesus as personal Savior. Verse 39 tells me of that. How long the eunuch had journeyed to find the change he needed in religions? It's unknown to us. How long in his life had he been searching? How many religions had he gone through? Many, it appears. He came from a land of many. He came to find out about God, and this God intrigued him. He wanted to know more about the Jewish God. After he found that out, he wanted to know about the God of the New Testament era. Philip was taken away at this point, yet he does not try to cling to him. He does not try to hold on to him and say, wow, this is my convert to Christianity. He leaves because the Spirit takes him away, because there's other things to do. And it talks about Philip going and preaching and teaching in other places. We learn more about the eunuch by looking at Philip. When I think about his enthusiasm, it had to ooze off of Philip. Philip totally believed in what he was teaching. He didn't hesitate. He didn't do it because he's told he's supposed to. You don't want to be a supposed to Christian. You want to be a changed Christian. Change simply means I surrender. Lord, what do you want? What do you want? How can I be excited about it every day? Show me how to even do more than I believed I could do. How to trust more, because I lack in faith sometimes, Lord. That's a fair thing to say, because we do. But Philip, you see what happened? This is where you get books like Contagious Christianity written. People read the lives of people who really believe what they say, and they see other people's lives being changed because they want what he's got. And this is what you want said about you. You want people to want what you've got because you believe that much in it. You're a changed person, and you can't help but speak about Jesus from time to time, because he's the center of everything for you. So he went on his way rejoicing, my friends, and this is why so many struggle in changing their hearts and their minds. They cannot find joy in their search for his truth and his teachings. These people can't. They look for it in too many wrong directions, and even church people sometimes don't find it in the right places because we allow other things to bring us our joy so much they interrupt our walk where we're really changed. People become restless in their spirit, looking for everything but Jesus, even after they say they've given him their life. This is why many people will fall away. Many will. They don't know how to let joy rule the day. How in all circumstances to let Him be Lord. You know, there has to be a revolution inside, my friends, if you're going to be changed. Inside each of us, it declares we want to change. Just as it was said, the revolution began with what? A shot heard around the world? So it is with us. When we have a change of mind and heart, we come to the water grave of baptism, just like the eunuch did. A shot, so to speak, is fired that kills the old man in you and me. And we rise to walk a new way, the way of the cross. And where's the way of the cross lead, my friends? You heard the song? Four-letter word, home. It leads us home, where we'll see him and be with him forever in heaven. This is what you want if you want to be changed. And our world is changed forever, each time, for each person who accepts that He is the true God. He is Lord. And there is no one and no name that you could be saved by except by the name of Jesus Christ, my friends. Maybe someone here today would like to join the revolution that is Christ and let Him change your mind, your heart, your life, and your destiny. I don't know if there is, but I'm going to give that invitation right now as we stand and sing. If you're a person who needs Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, here's your opportunity. We're in the chariot, we're taking the ride, and when you get out, will you go home rejoicing today? Stand with me.